Glenn. Can everybody hear me okay? Just a quick mic check. Excellent. So it's awesome to see everyone here. And I feel like Lynn this morning, just so grateful to just see everyone here and just be here and to see us all walking together, you know, all just arm in arm, just walking together, kicking the leaves like Lynn was saying and just enjoying the day, this beautiful fall day that we're having here. And so with that spirit of being together, let's just take a minute to say hi to each other and greet each other in the room as Lynn plays our welcoming song.
We are awakening to the calling of the mystic, awakening in the flowering of the heart. Everybody here melting into presence, overflowing effervescence, rising in love.
Thank you, Lynn. That was awesome. And welcome to everybody here from across the pond, if you're coming here from England or anywhere in the UK. And welcome to everyone listening on the radio and everyone here joining us in spirit. I know Regina's in Ireland today. I'm not sure what the time zone is over there, but sending a blessing out to her and her travels there with the workshops she's doing. So what we do now is talk about the statement of purpose of awakening together. We just briefly read it and hold that in our minds as we join and walk together. We are an assembly of equals joined in common purpose, awakening to one true self within an appearance of many faiths, many cultures, and many symbols. We seek to discern one truth and to rest in its embrace. And that just brings us back to the only path that exists, and that's your path. It's the only one that exists for you and me, my path, your path. And that really leads us to a core value that we choose to highlight every week, and I've chosen a third core value, which is we accept one true self, which is one presence or being, non-dual, without beginning or end, and absolutely changeless. We live this value by practicing letting go of the belief in the individual self as who we are. So as we walk together, we let go of that individual self, and we let joy, and we let consciousness, and we let our awareness move us. And it is wonderful to see everyone here this morning. Wonderful to be with you. And wonderful to hear Karen's meditation this morning. It was absolutely beautiful. We have a number of announcements coming up, so I'd like to cover those real quick before we go on with the rest of the service. So tonight, from 8 to 9 Eastern Time, we're going to be highlighting one of our sanctuary teachers you may not have heard before, Barbara Dearwater, our very own Barb. Her topic is going to be No Outcome. No Outcome. And her regular time slot is just after Lynn's social hour, after the sanctuary service, which is from 12:30 to 1:30. It's a full hour here on right at the top of the day on Sunday. So, hey, Sonia. Also in the announcements here, Common Ground mini-series. This is called Awakening to Heaven with Craig Villarubia. And also tonight at 9, this is the second in the series, Why Wait for Heaven? It is here and now, waiting only for your awareness of it. So Craig's going to focus on the mind's sort of natural ability to awaken beyond the physical world into the reality of heaven now, as he states it. And so we'll explore the thought system that filters out this recognition of heaven and get into some practices that dissolve that veil and bring you to that inheritance of perfect peace that we all have. So there'll be a sort of meditative discussion on the metaphysics and non-dual teachings of the ACIM, A Course in Miracles. And we're going to explore in the topics tonight the definition of awareness and where our true identity is actually revealed. So we're going to expose and then weaken and undo everything that fogs and distorts that experiential presence of holiness. And coming up also next Sunday, our satsang guest is Tess Hughes. And our own Reverend Jackie has pre-recorded an interview, I would say, talking about her own awakening and her conviction that enlightenment isn't just for rare exotic people from bygone times, that it's actually a potential in everyone. This is where all seekers are seeking. This is the end of seeking. And in addition, discussing her own path, this is Tess Hughes, to her own spiritual enlightenment, Tess shares some helpful perspectives and practices for other spiritual aspirants, you know, on their own journeys, if you find them useful. And so another announcement about our upcoming fall retreat with Regina Dawn Akers, Brent Haskell, and Mark Stroud. It is 7 weeks away, and I've already bought my plane tickets, and I'm going to all retreats. Yay! Woohoo! I'm looking forward to that. So we got some great prices for the retreat. When you count in all the rooms and meals, it's actually a good deal. It is too late for the early bird, but there's still a discount if you sign up for all three retreats. So it starts on Sunday the 23rd of October and ends all the way into the next full week, Sunday, October 30th. Or, of course, you can just sign up for any one of the three retreats individually. So go on to awakening-together.org. You can click the events menu to find out more about that. And I hope to meet some of you for the first time that I may not have ever met before. So that's going to be really exciting. I hope to see lots of people there. And the last announcement is our position of assistant sanctuary director. This is the part-time position. And there are some Sunday and evening work that is required. And the primary responsibilities are going to be to open and close the sanctuary and monitor the etiquette, make sure it's in harmony with our values, assist who's Ken, who is our sanctuary director in training, who will soon be our actual sanctuary director, and operate the broadcast, making announcements, and sometimes recording events at different times. And then also maintaining the schedule connecting with new speakers. It's a really interesting job. I think it's going to be neat. If I had the time available and the ability, I would probably apply for it myself. And if you are interested, please read it fully on the website. And our own Lynn is going to be continuing on with her our friends over in ACAM Gather. She's going to be the admin there, so we'll connect with her when the AT room is not open. The ACAM Gather room will be there too. So, and just be sure to include your name and address and phone number in the application. So if you feel an inner calling to it, go for it. It could be a really, really amazing thing. So let's stop for a minute here, and as we wrap up our announcements here, and just sort of be in a moment, and I'll lead us in a little prayer this morning. Dear God, we are so grateful here for the presence of our willingness joined together as we realize our power and our strength is only in our equality, in our true deep equality. As we walk together and we see this equality and we be and live in it, we find the joy that's there in awareness, in being, that only exists when it's extended, when it's acknowledged in another. Holy Spirit, we ask this to come to our minds, and we ask this to be with us today, this joy, this peace, this love. Amen. Okay, moving now to our inspirational reading. And we are doing good on time. Now, I know that this is Chapter 8, Section 4. Now, it is of the course. It's 2.5, almost 3 full pages. I think we'll have enough time to get through it, because I think we're doing good on time. We got through the announcements pretty quick and stuff, so I think we should be okay. I'll turn it over to you, Lynn Johnson, reading from A Course in Miracles, Chapter 8, Section 4. Turning it over to you, Linny.
Oh, thank you so much, Jay. And what a beautiful day. What a beautiful time to join together. I'm going to move my microphone a little closer to me because it seems to be a little low. The gift of freedom from Chapter 8, Section 4 of A Course in Miracles. If God's will for you is complete peace and joy, unless you experience only this, you must be refusing to acknowledge His will. His will does not vacillate, being changeless forever. When you are not at peace, it can only be because you do not believe you are in Him. Yet He is all in all. His peace is complete, and you must be included in it. His laws govern you because they govern everything. You cannot exempt yourself from His laws, although you can disobey them. Yet if you do, and only if you do, you will feel lonely and helpless because you are denying yourself everything. I am come as a light into the world that does deny itself everything. It does this simply by dissociating itself from everything. It is therefore an illusion of isolation, maintained by fear of the same loneliness that is its illusion. I said that I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. That is why I am the light of the world. If I am with you in the loneliness of the world, the loneliness is gone. Remember that. Who walks with me? There's no loneliness. This is so cool. You cannot maintain the illusion of loneliness if you are not alone. My purpose then is still to overcome the world. I do not attack it, but my light must dispel it because of what it is. light does not attack darkness, but it does shine it away. If my light goes with you everywhere, you shine it away with me. The light becomes ours, and you cannot abide in darkness any more than darkness can abide wherever you go. The remembrance of me is the remembrance of yourself and of him who sent me to you. You were in darkness until God's will was done completely by any part of the sonship. When this was done, it was perfectly accomplished by all. And so he's saying, when I did it, it was done for all. How else could it be perfectly accomplished? My mission was simply to unite the will of the sonship with the will of the Father by being aware of the Father's will myself. This is the awareness I came to give you, and your problem in accepting it is the problem of this world. Dispelling it is salvation, and in this sense, I am the salvation of the world. The world must therefore despise and reject me because the world is the belief that love is impossible. If you will accept the fact that I am with you, you are denying the world and accepting God. My will is his, and your decision to hear me is the decision to hear his voice and abide in his will. As God sent me to you, so will I send you to others. And I will go to them with you, so we can teach them peace and union. Do you not think the world needs peace as much as you do? Do you not want to give it to the world as much as you want to receive it? For unless you do, you will not receive it. If you want to have it of me, you must give it. Healing does not come from anyone else. You must accept guidance from within. The guidance must be what you want, or it will be meaningless to you. That is why healing is a collaborative venture. This is why I can't do it alone. I can tell you what to do, but you must collaborate by believing that I know what you should do. Only then will your mind choose to follow me. Without this choice, you could not be healed, because you would have decided against healing, and this rejection of my decision for you makes healing impossible. Healing reflects our joint will. This is obvious when you consider what healing is for. Healing is the way in which the separation is overcome. Separation is overcome by union. It cannot be overcome by separating. The decision to unite must be unequivocal, or the mind itself is divided and not whole. Your mind is the means by which you determine your own condition, because mind is the mechanism of decision. It is the power by which you separate or join and experience pain or joy accordingly. My decision cannot overcome yours, because yours is as powerful as mine. If it were not so, the sons of God would be unequal. All things are possible through our joint decision, but mine alone cannot help you. Your will is as free as mine, and God himself would not go against it. I cannot will what God does not will. I can offer my strength to make yours invincible, but I cannot oppose your decision without competing with it and thereby violating the prime directive, God's will for you. Nothing God created can oppose your decision, as nothing God created can oppose his will. God gave your will its power, which I can only acknowledge in honor of his. If you want to be like me, I will help you, knowing that we are alike. If you want to be different, I will wait until you change your mind. I can teach you, but only you can choose to listen to my teaching. How else can it be if God's kingdom is freedom? Freedom cannot be learned by tyranny of any kind, and the perfect equality of all God's sons cannot be recognized through the dominion of one mind over another. God's sons are equal in will, all being the will of their Father. This is the only lesson I came to teach. If your will were not mine, it would not be our Father's. This would mean you have imprisoned yours and have not let it be free. Of yourself you can do nothing, because of yourself you are nothing. I am nothing without the Father, and you are nothing without me, because by denying the Father you deny yourself. I will always remember you, and in my remembrance of you lies your remembrance of yourself. Isn't that what it says in the manual for teachers? Jesus was a man who saw the Christ in everyone he saw, and so he remembered God and became identified with the Christ. He remembered what we are. In our remembrance of each other lies our remembrance of God, and in this remembrance lies your freedom, because your freedom is in him. Join then with me in praise of him and you whom he created. This is our gift of gratitude to him, which he will share with all his creations, to whom he gives equally whatever is acceptable to him. Because it is acceptable to him, it is the gift of freedom, which is his will for all his sons. By offering freedom, you will be free. Freedom is the only gift you can offer to God's sons, being an acknowledgement of what they are and what he is. Freedom is creation because it is love. Whom you seek to imprison, you do not love. Therefore, when you seek to imprison anyone, including yourself, you do not love him and you cannot identify with him. When you imprison yourself, you are losing sight of your true identification with me and with the Father. Your identification is with the Father and with the Son. It cannot be one with one and not the other. If you are part of one, you must be part of the other, because they are one. The Holy Trinity is holy because it is one. If you exclude yourself from this union, you are perceiving the Holy Trinity as separated. You must be included in it because it is everything. Unless you take your place in it and fulfill your function as part of it, the Holy Trinity is as bereft as you are. No part of it can be imprisoned if its truth is to be known. Wow. What a beautiful section. Thank you, thank you, thank you for letting me read this, Jay. And I will turn the mic back over to you.
Thank you, Lynn. I loved your reading of that. That was beautiful. You know, as I was sort of putting together the topic for today, and it was partly very just recently, just yesterday and today I put it together. It's funny how Holy Spirit guidance, the very guidance that this section was talking about, syncs up what you're guided to present about with many other things, such as Craig's miniseries, how he's talking about exploring the thought system that filters out the recognition and experience of heaven, and how this section talks about we have to want it. We have to want the union to walk together to experience the freedom, as it describes joy as freedom. But you got to let go of the separation, and part of that letting go of the separation is to face it. You have to face. This is where Buddhism, teachings of Buddhism, are very, very helpful in this. And they're very compatible with the teachings of non-dual teachings like the Course in Miracles. Because there's a process to being in this happiness and this joy. And it's described in all of the teachings as joy, as happiness as our true nature, awareness as our true nature, which is love. we are love, as Norman Cooper states, you know, you be love to extend love. I mean, you are love. When you are extending love, you are being love. But we can't do that when we're blocked, right? And what's the first thing we have to do when we're blocked? Like if we have a toothache, and I just recently came from a tooth extraction several months ago, so I experienced some very memorable days of toothache pain. You know, when I got out of that toothache pain, I really appreciated and just relished the feeling of not having pain in the body, and just appreciated the simple joy of just being in the body and being in the moment without having physical pain. Because when you have a sort of grinding of the bones deeper down in the gum line, it can be extremely painful afterwards if you don't. The drugs they gave me ran out, and they didn't want me to get addicted to painkillers, so they didn't give me a new prescription. So I had to take just the little aspirins, just the lesser painkillers, which didn't really do much for the pain. So it's like I really appreciated graduating from this pain because it was so, you know, wonderful, and I really appreciated it. You know, and it's comparing it to that, you know, with our own mindfulness, do we really treasure our happiness, our well-being, the joy of awareness? Do we really treasure it all the time? You know, and the truth is that, like in psychotherapy, you know, psychotherapists talk about patients about how to end your suffering. And, of course, that's the main teaching in Buddhism, is how do we end our suffering, right? And, of course, acknowledgement of the suffering is the first step. And that's the key, is, hey, I'm in pain. Well, it's not exactly hard necessarily to acknowledge it, but it's also on the flip side about happiness and well-being. It's important to recognize that you have that happiness. Like when we're really young and we have health and energy, and, you know, we take for granted our state of energy and youth and happiness and just state of energy of being very young. Not until we get older and we have difficulty walking or whatever, you know, we quickly forget that feeling of happiness and joy that's there, unless we remain mindful, unless we remain disciplined. I saw an interesting movie last night called Shattered, with Liam, not with Liam Neeson, but with Gerard Butler and Pierce Brosnan, and it was a situation where a man was this perfect couple didn't turn out to be so perfect. He was actually cheating on his wife, and it turned out that the other husband colluded with his wife. The spurned lovers of both sides actually colluded together to bring this really sort of teaching lesson to the other people, very traumatically. It didn't result in any permanent damage to anyone's body or career or anything, but it was a fake out thing that made them think everything was going to end. And the lesson to it was, you know, don't forget that love. Like when he thought he was going to lose his daughter, he was just in this state of just utter, you know, when he realized he wasn't going to lose his daughter, because part of the threat was kidnapping the daughter, which the daughter was never really kidnapped. It was all just an illusion. So when he realized his daughter was actually okay, he just was filled with this feeling of just appreciation and love and all that. And then as the game that Pierce Brosnan was playing on him kept unfolding, he kind of would slip back into forgetting about the appreciation and love and feeling of care for his daughter. And Pierce Brosnan's character would remind him, hey, have you forgotten so quick? I can make this phone call and you'll never see your daughter again. But of course, that was all just BS. And that wasn't, it was just a game he was playing on him to make him feel that abandonment and that pain. He was putting him deliberately into a situation like that. And so it was an interesting lesson about how quickly we can forget those times of happiness and joy and love, if there's anything that's distracting us from it, and how important it is to connect with what nourishes me, what brings me joy, and to be in that peace, you know. And yes, you have to acknowledge, hey, I'm in pain right now. You have to openly admit how you're deceiving yourself, how you're lying to yourself. If you're anything like people that go to parties and act happy, but really there's like anxiety underneath that because they're all afraid of not being accepted by other people. You know, so it's like getting through that outer layer of deception to acknowledging what the underneath suffering is and letting it go so you can be in that genuine happiness, right? And, you know, the conditions for our happiness, the conditions are already available all the time. We don't actually have to lose anything, but we, of course we do. That's just the way life is. Life doesn't ever present us with a perfect physical situation. It just doesn't occur, not in this place. Because ending the illusion of separation, as the reading talked about, is the purpose of this place. Holding hands together, walking together, being in union is the very healing that does that. It is the healing. And so, what is it that nourishes joy in me? How can I? What is it that I really, not just ending the suffering, but what is it that brings me joy? Moving forward into that joy, what is it? You know, what are the things that, you know, and this kind of brings you into another phase, another step about this joy, which you could call encouragement. You know, once we've recognized it and sort of faced it and let it go, we can encourage it. We encourage this joy, this peace. You know, maybe you like to garden. Maybe you like to bend down, touch the soil. You think of gardening as a practice, not just an idea. Taking a walk, whatever it is, just sitting in meditation. You know, you have to touch deeply the things that bring you peace and joy. You have to touch it. You know, and I use the analogy of gardening because you are touching the soil, or if you work with artworks or anything you're doing, you can touch the clothing that you're folding in laundry. You can touch your clothing as you put it on your body. You can touch the soap as you shower. You can. Everything is about connecting and letting your mind connect with what's occurring right now and being in that space. That's the joy. That's the miracle. It's to be alive. We are here in the moment. This is the miracle. Living life. The minds that God created, as we've talked about, being in a state of, in a body, play, divine play. Yes, we can disobey the divine laws, but we will experience this suffering as a result. So let's encourage ourselves to live as the song was singing and playing before the service, in that state of holiness, right? I am perfect holiness. What is there to fear? If there is suffering, let me, dear God, not be afraid of facing this temptation. I am not, it is not more powerful than me. Anything that is distracting me is not more powerful than me. You know, one of the things that's come up for me lately is sort of getting over involved with work in recent weeks. And I'm sort of letting that die back down because I accepted too much work. Because I have my own business and I don't have an employer to manage how much work I do. It's all up to me now because I'm running my own business. So it takes a different level of discipline and awareness and practice. It's kind of good to do that because I realized that without that, I'll just get sucked back into this when work comes in, instead of maybe passing it along or keeping my life at a level where my practices stay a priority and I'm in that space of recognition of that. And that's the key, you know, is to keep encouraging yourself. You know, I like drawing mandalas. You know, I like riding bikes. There's a lot of things I like doing. Meditation. I like studying truth works. I like being here in the chat room with all of my sangha here. It's just like being, you know, being in that space. Jesus, Buddha, they faced their own suffering directly and discovered that the path of of the liberation, it lies in facing that. We can't run away from what's unpleasant, you know, to discover and embrace things that are pleasant. We have to go through the door of that unpleasant, allow it to be healed through our path and our practice. That's the way to find real joy. That's it. you know, it's all about embracing. It's walking together in that equality. We can't harbor judgments and pretend to be equal. It doesn't work like that. To experience true joy and true equality, we have to go through and let go of, just like with what Craig's going to talk about in the miniseries, these clouds, these fogs. That's the way to true well-being, true joy, true happiness. And ultimately learning to not discriminate between the beautiful fragrance of the flowers and that sometimes the stench of the muck, right? You know, we transforming the muck into flowers. I mean, look at the lotus growing out of the muck, right? Don't just throw away what suffers, you know, or what comes up in you. It's not about throwing it away. You have to be with it. You know, the Buddhists call it touching. You know, the Course in Miracles calls it forgiveness. You got to be with it and allow it to be. Rest, accept, trust. This is how you move through it, and it's impermanent. You know, like when I get a new client, or I bid for a job and I get a new job, or somebody says a compliment to me, or something. You know, my girlfriend says something to me that's really nice, or something, or whatever. I get how excited am I going to get? How high do I want to go on that emotional roller coaster? And then on the same token, when you know, she says something that's doesn't make me feel good, or is maybe a client project doesn't work out well, or some social situation doesn't go the way you want, how upset do I get? And how alike in that suffering and joy can I be? The truth is that they're both impermanent, you know? And that leads us to, like, what the Buddhists call the third part of this process of well-being and happiness is realization. You know, that anything we experience that's like an emotional suffering, an emotional high, are actually not two different things. They really aren't. They're resting in joy that is beneath both of them, and you're accepting both of them with equal joy. Wow, that really sucked. You know, this is part of the dance of life. Wow, this was really awesome. This really went my way, quote unquote. You know, it's both of them. And that's like a good way to, like, look at where you're at in your path, right? How much do I get into either of them? And how much do I allow it to distract me? Do I let it pierce the joy? Do I forget? Or do I remain in that awareness, in that practice? How rooted have I become in the practice of that awareness, right? In the practice of that state of forgiveness, that state of peace, the state of joy, the state of well-being. You know, it's really, as we, in awakening together, because we embrace so many different paths, you know, the truth is that if a path you're on is helping you address the real difficulties you're having in life, okay? If a practice or path doesn't concern those real suffering and address them, then it's not a path you want. You want to follow a path that directly addresses what's really actually going on with you, right or wrong, don't judge it, whatever the things you value that you find that are blocking your joy and happiness, that's what it is that you need to apply it to. Through the front door, I call it. Through the front door, right? Joy and peace and true awareness of that do not come through any form of pretense at all, ever. You have to go through what's actually going on with you. Learning, reflecting, discussing, practicing. You know, if after this period of encouragement that you go through with yourself, you don't then move into the reflecting, discussing, practicing, engaging in a practice, it will be temporary, and you will go back to the first stage, which is the suffering. Okay? And you'll just cycle through those over and over until, through that encouragement, you touch the suffering, you touch what's inside, and you go through it. And you move through it. And you then begin to learn, integrate, practice. Then you graduate into the awakening. then you graduate into the awakening and the true joy. The truth of it is that transformation is gradual. And, you know, once we see the causes of our suffering and we address them and we move through them and we encourage ourselves and we begin to practice, that whole process is gradual. And this is what brings us back to recognizing what our nutriments are. And this is something that I really love about the Buddhist teachings about the Eightfold Path, right livelihood, right thought, right speech, right diet, all this sort of, what are we taking in through our senses? What words am I speaking? How am I just staying mindful of both what you're receiving into your mind and what you're expressing out? Both. You know, this is the balance. This is what our practice is, and the transformation truly is gradual. It doesn't happen overnight, right? And of course, the transformation we're talking about is not working to add something to you that you don't already have. It is the action of undoing, as we all know. It is the allowing to be undone. It's the remembering of the joy, not to take it for granted. Like when we're young, the body is young, and we take for granted our feeling of energy and quickly heal from anything and just snap back, right? It doesn't work like that as you get a little older. You know, and the presence of the heart, the presence of love that resides symbolically in the heart is what we touch. This is the result. These are the divine laws, the presence of holiness when we accept and willingly move into and cooperate with these. Do we end the suffering? You know, when I had an experience of Jesus coming to me and putting his hand into my heart and holding it, and I just broke down in tears, that experience was only there, and the energy of the presence of Jesus was only there because I allowed it and I wanted it. And that's it. Just like the reading today talked about, is nothing can come to you if you don't want it. You have to want joy. It's more than just to face, and you don't want to endlessly stay into the muck of the suffering. You want to want joy. Like, to live meditatively was a aspiration that I had for a long time. And one of Regina's aspirations, her earliest aspiration as inspired by the Peace Pilgrim, was to have that love, that continuous love, and live only in love. And the truth is that many people need suffering to see the path. They need suffering to you know, the extreme, whatever the challenges are, addictions, losses of jobs, relationships, you know, long-term difficulty with something, or pain, physical illnesses, all of these things are incredible gifts, because they bring us to, many people have awakened from coming off of these situations. You know, and it's when we come to a time of peace and this cessation occurs, this letting go, that well-being is just right there, that happiness, that joy that we can be in. Not to get away from any problems or instead of a problem. It is through the difficulty we find the joy. We have to go through it. We have to acknowledge it and engage in real practice and encouragement and move through that so that we can. And it's so good for us to just remember that and not take for granted and not forget that state of joy, that state of love, and appreciate it and touch that joy in ourselves. Yes, and see all things that are temporary. That excitement, joy, wow, that was awesome, wow, that really sucked. Be with those things in joy. That is underneath those things, the emotional roller coaster. It is underneath. We touch deeply what brings us joy. Underneath that, what security, what knowing of safety we have. Knowing that is there underneath it all, right? And so, as we take this time of just recognition of joy, let us just think about what it is that we touch that brings us joy. Let us remember times of joy. Let us rekindle the desire for joy and wanting joy. The word desire is from a Latin root, de meaning of, and sire meaning God. Desire of God. Of God. The true essence of desire is to want union with all of our being, as if submerged underwater, holding our breath, wanting that breath of air with all of our being, no doubt. No doubt at all. None. We know we want that next breath. We know we want that joy. When our mind can be inspired and filled with this joy, let us touch deeply that joy and just touch it. Be with it. And so let's now move into a time of open meditation and contemplation. And this is can be a time of just taking a moment, and if you want to donate to Awakening Together, you can do so on the link on the website. Everything we do supports Awakening Together. And I'll turn it back over to Lynn, and she can play us a song, the Divine DJ Lynn Johnson. Back at you.
Like the crashing of a wave on the shores of consciousness, we're alive and we're awake to the world, and with the gift of love we're blessed. 'Cause we can be, yes we can be. Twinkling of an eye, or the turning of a page, comes the moment when our time has arrived, and we can never be the same. Children of Paradise.
That was awesome, Lynn. Thank you. Divine DJ Lynn, yes. You know, as I was listening to that song and just reflecting on what was shared in the course and, you know, what was coming through Spirit today, I had a few additional thoughts, but I want to open it up, too, now to the room and just sort of see if anybody else wants to share. I'd love to hear other people's thoughts that came up for them about joy and what about any aspect of what was shared, whether it's, you know, what's currently going on for you, how you're experiencing joy, whether you feel you're maybe in a time of encouragement or realization. Kathy, your mic.
Thanks, Jay, and good morning, everyone. I so enjoyed your sharing today, Jay, and several things came to mind. But the one that kind of stood out for me was I was in the Walmart parking lot one day last week, and on the back of someone's SUV were stenciled letters that said, "Be joyful." And, you know, sometimes we read those words and they seem to be just words, but there was a response within me right away, and it said, and I said in my own mind, okay, I will. And when you were speaking about just, you know, everyday life activities, three of, you know, which I love very, very much, gardening, and, you know, being outdoors, certainly being just outdoors and moving around and doing some form of, you know, walking, stretching, and gardening provides a lot of that for me. So it's a three in one. And finding God in all of that. I saw Star Child saying, you know, she speaks to her flowers and lays on her grass and talks to the grass. And I find myself, you know, if I clip a flower to bring it in for an arrangement, I thank that flower for its gift to me. I feel grateful for clean running water when I turn the shower on. I mean, it is so, so easy to fall into complacency and lack of gratitude for all that is. And even beyond the stuff and the things, to know that joy can be there even while the toothache is happening. Even while the toothache is happening, there is the awareness of the toothache, but you get on some real deep sense that you're not that toothache, even while you're experiencing, you know, this extreme pain. That's the joy, to know that to the fullest, where, you know, you are beyond the full grips of a toothache or whatever kind of, you know, gripping sort of thing that might be going on that really tries to distract our attention from the truth that we are not that pain. And, you know, we are not these distractions, and we are not. And Jay, you also spoke to, you know, in the same vein, how it can be, gratitude becomes such a small portion of where our devotion is in the course of a day, that the mind can be distracted by all these other things going on. And so maybe three quarters of our day is spent in distraction, and there is a compliant willingness going on that we need to be mindful about, that, you know, we are responsible for that lack of attention. You know, really, is that the gift that I want to give to myself or to the world? And so, no matter what I'm doing now, I even if it's, you know, clipping my toenails, I try to be mindful. I mean, and it's, you know, it still feels like a practice for me, not so much automatic, like a heartbeat or a breath. So I'm still working on it, and I really appreciated you sharing all of this today. I thought it was a very practical, loving, kind, courteous sharing. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Kathy. I was hoping you'd speak today with all the gardening emphasis. And yeah, that's true that we don't avoid the suffering to get to joy. You can't be joyful and stay joyful unless you move through everything that's there, you know, and this is where the encouragement happens. But I think that we can sometimes forget about wanting the joy and wanting that's such an important message, to want that joy. So turning it over to you, Gloria.
Okay, good morning. Are you able to hear me okay this morning? All right, perfect. Good morning, everybody. And thank you so much, Jay. Reverend Jay, and thank you, Lynn, for the reading this morning. Both of those things were all of it was really helpful. And as Kathy was saying there, and I also like two words that Kathy used when she was just speaking: compliant willingness. I like that combination of words there. So thank you, Kathy, as well. First of all, I want to make a correction from last week. Normally, when I'm speaking, I don't watch the board as much, and I didn't catch a reminder in the board last week that Gangaji is a female. So I want to go on record, because I gave her the male delineation throughout my talk last week. So I just want to say that she is a she. I want to say that off right up front. But there was something in Jay's sharing today that I did want to talk about. He talked about going through painful situations and then people experiencing that's interesting, Jay. If she was a he, that would just that would confuse the situation even further. Okay. Going through painful situations and people experiencing spiritual openings. And what I wanted to say about that is, from my own experience, as well as a lot of the information that I've read and experienced, that comes from letting go of identification with objects and things. So I know for me, and that's actually something I'm currently talking about in the Between the Lines group as well, is this disidentification. So what I'm saying there is that any time that we're not identified with objects or things or the little self, then there's a letting go, and a space is created for you to just be there with whatever's going on, which is literally being present. As Jay also mentioned, that the conditions for happiness are all already here. You know, everything that we need for happiness is already here. Happiness is here all the time. So those spiritual openings, what I've learned from my own, like I said, my own experience, is during those really painful, really stressful times in life, there wasn't any identification with anything else. The objects fell away. The things, the to-do list fell away. You know, there was a disidentification with the things that were drawing my awareness and drawing my attention. So what I'm getting to there is that the more we're able to let go or disidentify with things and people and situations, the more we bring ourselves back into this present moment, into this present time where happiness always is. Those conditions are always here and available. And that's also what that reading that Lynn shared as well pointed to, chapter 8. in the A Course in Miracles, it talked about freedom there. So I just wanted to share that. Thank you all for letting me share today, and I'll go ahead and let go of the mic. Love to you all.
Hey, I wanted to ask to see if I'm going to skip over Awakening Together Radio. Is that you, Ken? Is that you, Ken? Or is that? Oh, it's Lynn. Do you mind if I let Nancy speak next? Is that okay? I know you raised your hand next. Okay, go ahead, Nancy.
Oh, thank you. I was just standing in line, but thank you so much. It was, your talk this morning about, I think your message was that we first have to kind of own or accept what it is we see or what we've been trying to project, kind of that first step of taking the projection back and owning that before it can be let go or transformed. And then we started to talk about, physical body, and it reminded me of an experience that I had about 3 years ago. I broke my wrist, and I needed surgery on it, and they put a titanium plate in there and fixed it up. Good as new. But in the rehabilitation process, I had some physical therapy, and I would show up at the physical therapist's office, and over the weeks of physical therapy, I would walk in, and I would kind of, my arm was kind of held from me at a distance. And she looked at me one day, and she said, "You need to make friends with that arm again." And it didn't really occur to me that I was distancing myself from my own arm. I was like, "Get away from me, you hurt." And I didn't realize that I had been doing that. She suggested that a massage therapist that she liked a lot that helped with injuries. So I went to see her a couple of times, and I wasn't trying to feel gratitude. So she gave me this long massage, and at the very end, she took the arm that had been injured. It was out of the cast by now. And she just ran her hands down my arm, and down even slowly, just past my hand and through each finger. And all of a sudden, I was just overwhelmed with a sense of gratitude for my arm. And it was like, it was by her treating it with tenderness, okay? And the gratitude that came up, and maybe it's not all spiritually correct, but I was like, "Oh my God, thank you, thank you." It could have been my head that I hit. It could have been my hip. And it was my arm, that took the brunt of the fall and was repaired through surgery. You all know that head injuries or hip injuries are a lot more complicated. But a sense of real gratitude kind of overflowed in me. And it was, I think, a metaphor for what your message was, in that we have a tendency, or at least I do, I want to distance myself from what I see in myself, right? That's why I project. I want to distance myself from that instead of, you need to make friends with that part of yourself again. And look at that with spirit. And, re-accept that for that transformation or transcendence to happen. So anyway, thank you so much. Thanks, Lynn, for giving me your spot, and I'm letting go of the mic.
Wow, that's awesome. See that? Yeah, great little gratitude turnaround there. That's awesome. That was neat sharing. Thank you. Lynn, your mic.
All right. Thank you so much. Thank you, Nancy. That was awesome. And, Jay, I just wanted to say one thing I moved my mic and it seems to be working better. I just wanted to say one thing that I really have noticed is there's a shift that has occurred with you. And this gratitude is a natural outcome of it. I can feel it when I talk to you and when I hear you. There's, you know, definitely something. and I see that you're joyful because of it. And that obviously is, you know, wonderful, wonderful thing. This idea of the way I see what we're talking about here is that if I just accept in the moment what is happening and don't project into the future what might be happening next, or into the past of how did this happen, and rather just be here in the moment with the tooth pain, with the fear, with the you know, whatever it is that seems to be taking my attention away from my own mind. If I just be with those feelings, be with that pain, without suffering. Suffering only comes when I project that it's going to continue. When I think, oh, this pain will never be over, and then, you know, when this pain is over, then I might take something and it'll be gone, but then it'll come back. And, you know, we're just projecting this idea that I'm going to continue to be in pain instead of just being in pain and noticing it, recognizing that seems to be the situation right now, and being in the moment with it. You know, it's the acceptance of it. It's the acceptance of it, and I think that's what happened with your arm, Nancy, is just that sudden acceptance of what it is, and that not rejecting or projecting into another time of what will be. And when that happens, when you're just in this very moment, yes, acceptance is forgiveness. And I think that's exactly what you were talking about, Jay, is, you know, experience your experience. Don't reject your experience. Because when you reject your experience, you're rejecting what you asked for. You asked for it, you got it, and now you're saying, I don't want it, give me something else, instead of just accepting, this is what I got. Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with it, any of it. And I only suffer when I think it's going to, something else is going to happen. If I'm just here and this is what's happening, I'm not suffering. So thank you for letting me share, and I love you, Jay.
Good morning. Can you hear me all right? Yay. Everyone, it was such a really wonderful lesson, Jay. I just can't thank you enough. And such powerful sharings, Nancy and Lynn, right on. Jay, I felt like the lesson was exactly for me. Yesterday, I was sent into a dysfunctional family situation, and I don't know if you watched the movie Practical Magic, but my mother and her sisters are like the aunts on Practical Magic, and she asked that I walk into a situation with her sister. She's 89, and she's in full-blown dementia, and she asked that I be there to stand between her sister and her sister's children and grandchildren in what can only be described as the most dysfunctional of all situations. And I knew that when I went, I was I was sent as a beacon of light, and that was really my only purpose, no matter what anyone else thought. And that I, wherever I went, I brought God with me, and non-judgment, and forgive them. They know what, not what they do, and it didn't matter. It was an all-day situation. And an 89-year-old woman who's suffering from dementia and lung cancer and smoking and running people off and all of that, I just wanted out. I just wanted out of that situation. I didn't want to be there. I wanted to judge everybody involved. And I found an anger welling up against the 89-year-old woman. And so I get to look at that today. And I'm so grateful that I get to look at it. I didn't forget any of the practices we learn here. In fact, I continue to say, forgive them. They know not what they do. But it really isn't about forgiving any of them. It really is about my remembrance. It really is about my gratitude. And it isn't about wanting a better situation or a better scenario in this illusion to spend my Saturday on. It is where I am now. And there's no decision for me to make except, who do I want to walk with? Do I want to walk with truth? Do I want to walk with love? And do I want to walk with innocence? And if I can remember that, then maybe the gratitude for the lesson will start to come in. So I really do thank you. We forget how important it is for us to gather whenever we do gather and share these messages of strength. There's a wonderful reading, Lynn. You did an excellent job. And Gloria, thank you for reminding me that this is what we have. This is it. And I can be happy even in the midst of anything. So thank you all. I appreciate it.
Wow, there's some awesome sharings tonight. And yeah, that's Sonia, you were thrust into a situation to immediately sort of practice that. And I find that it's kind of on the token of what you were sharing, Sonia, and sort of the word that Teddy typed. He said he put keep the fun in dysfunctional. It's like that attitude, right? Of like when the anger comes. And as you were saying, Sonia, it comes seemingly outside of our control, right? It just comes. Because it's coming from the unconscious, always, right? But it's through that very anger that we find our joy. The experiences of our suffering and experiences of our joy aren't separate. That's the key. We have to embrace this, like, we were taught that pain is bad. We were taught that suffering is bad, that anger is bad, that all of these things are bad and they're horrible and to be avoided and full of guilt and all this stuff, when really it can just be what it is. Wow, I'm really in anger right now. And that one thought is embracing the anger, and yes, you're allowing yourself to be in the experience, and your non-rejection of it is taking away all of the energy that fueled it in the beginning. See? So, the shortest way to joy is actually to embrace it, not... Because it isn't a pleasant thing, but it isn't bad, okay? And that's the difference. The anger may not be pleasant, but it isn't bad. And therefore, it can just be okay. It can be just what it is. And Teddy is writing, it is honesty in the moment, capitalized, that allows us to give pause for something else. The ego wants us to not pause and project the anger and remove the attention from the spot where the new decision could have been made. Precisely. That is exactly what I'm talking about. And Sonia wrote, it was so powerful to hear you say, this morning that we have to look at it but not deny it. That is how we, yes, and Sonia used the term courage to do what Teddy's describing about honesty in the moment, which I think Teddy's probably maybe the best at of doing of anybody I know. Teddy embraces what's happening right now. Teddy never rejects, even if it's all screwed up or whatever it is. He just accepts what's happening in the moment. So that is the key, is to practice that. And that's the very kind of courage that you got to have. And that very practice and that being with that, it quickens the process of the subsiding of whatever it is. But nowhere in that did you want the anger to go away. See, that's the trick. You don't want to try to push away the anger. You can't do that, right? You can't, in this totally messed up, dysfunctional situation that is completely insane, and you completely know it's ridiculous, and it's easy to feel victimized, or you know, it's whatever the negative, you know, the anger, justified anger, whatever it is that's coming up. How dare you? Blah blah blah. This you still got to let that come up though, right? And not push it away, and not think it's bad. I mean, there's actually, I've been able to do this, and this is one transformation that has occurred within me, is I allow more now with compassion in myself, and therefore I'm also able to allow more in compassion with others too, by the way of these negative things like anger or someone getting upset. And it's not that I'm immune from feeling the effects of my own or another's anger. That's not it. You feel the energy or the vibration of it, the frequency of it, to sort of wax Carrie Triffitt-ish, Triffitt-esque. Feel the vibration or frequency of it. I feel the vibration or frequency of it, but I don't judge it as much as I did. So therefore, because I do that, I'm then able to actually just let it go by, and then there doesn't have to be like a rift afterwards or something. You know what I mean? Like, you know, it just kind of brings you back with the situation, and it's all just sort of fun and laughing in the end. You know, it's and somebody talking about apologies. And sometimes I do apologize. I always try to apologize. But Kathy's writing no residue. That's a good way of what I'm trying to say is when you do it that way, there's no residue. It's just clean. There was this anger. Yes, I felt victimized, unfairly treated, whatever. Or you then became angry at another. Either way, both cases, you give yourself permission to have gotten angry, but you don't justify it. It's just not bad. You just don't judge yourself for having done it. Then it's just clean, and it can go away clean, and the whole thing is clean, and it's true healing as a result. Then you can get to joy. But you can't get to joy if you don't do that. If you still are secretly judging yourself for have gotten angry, or someone else for have gotten angry, and you're not really letting it go, and you're acting like it's okay, but really it's not. This is where you have to you have to have the courage to just be organic with what's occurring, with that embracing spiritual courage, non-judgment. Then the transforming of the garbage into flowers, the lotus, right? Don't throw away your suffering. Touch it. You got to touch it. By having non-judgment, you touch that. You touch it. You're with it. And now amidst that, you still, if you've practiced some sort of meditation or awareness experience practice, you'll even amidst that, you will be buzzing in the background with some sort of awareness that's still above all of that too. Okay? If you can get that going in your practice too, and that's the key. And Lynn is typing, when you are not wholly joyous, it is because you have reacted with lack of love to one of God's creations. Perceiving this as a sin, you become defensive because you expect attack. Yes, decision to react the way it's yours and can therefore be undone. Yes, exactly. Perfect. Om Namah Shivaya. I think I'm going to play that song. I think there's a... it's actually 10:30, so let's wrap up the service. This ends our time together this morning. So I'm really grateful for the amazing sharings that we had this morning. We're awesome. And Lynn for the reading, and for Spirit being present with us all, and realizing that, you know, the way to joy is through whatever you're experiencing, and that's it, and that's the way to joy, and to want it, and to want it, to want joy, to be desirous of God and joy. So I'm grateful for everything that's happened, and I will turn it back over to Divine DJ Lynn for our closing song.